The next stop is
Madison Square Garden.
Hi, child. Good evening. Good afternoon.
What's good?
Gotta get it. I gotta wake up. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 5 of STK Surviving the Mix podcast. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope all is well out there. Got my brothers with me, Just Heck. We got Coach B in the building. What's going on, my boy?
Chilling.
All right. And then we got Wall Street Heck in the building. What's going on, buddy?
What's up? All sorry if you can hear my son crying in the background. He don't want to go to sleep.
Oh, hey, listen, that's life, bro. That's extra. They get that. That's the free. It's a freebie. Just want to point out that today, Coach B put up a video in the chat of him dunking, and Ed pushed the games into spring of 2027. And then Wall Street threatened to assault me. I want to put this on the record. He threatened to assault me.
Draymond Green style. No, I said that I was going to pull out Draymond Green moves. That's not assault. It's part of the game now.
It is part of the game. Right.
The 90s is back.
Listen, that's birth control. Fuck it. And we got the notorious Ed Dowers in the building. What's going on?
Right on time.
What's up, boys? Yeah. 3-1. Exactly what I predicted. The last week was a very good week for
now
the
Knicks. You changed excited it. To talk you said 4-0.
I got bullied into saying 4-0. I said 3-1 first.
I definitely said 3-1 too.
That did. That definitely did. The Boston game was a tricky one. But bro, they're 6-1 the last 2 weeks, y'all.
No, 5, baby.
It was doomsday 2 weeks ago. And as Wall Street, predicted,
nobody said doomsday.
As Wall Street predicted, all is well now. So to start off the night, Wall Street this week, he went 3-1. They lost to Boston, obviously, on Monday. And then they beat the Hawks, they beat Charlotte, and they beat the Wizards. All right? So they're 3-1 for the week, and they're 6-1 for the last 2 weeks. What were your thoughts this week? Because you were active this week in the games and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking about the question that you had asked me last week. Is this RJ Barrett's team? And the answer to that question, it keeps on coming out to me as I'm watching the games. And it's like one of the reasons that we good is because this is nobody's team. You know, this is a unit. Everybody has their position and everybody's playing their position. And as I'm watching the games, I see how some people might argue, nah, man, this is Brunson's team. Some people might argue, nah, this is Julius's team. But you got to understand, there are things on the court that Jalen Brunson does not do well. He does them very bad, actually, especially on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. But what you have is a team that can hide that. It's a team that it has his back. So Jalen Brunson's, you know, ability to make stops on defense is negated by guys like DiVincenzo, Josh Hart. Grimes was playing well, but I know he got injured. And then especially Julius and Mitch. Mitch, you know, has been playing great basketball. But, you know, and let's touch on Mitch for a second. There's things that Mitch does very well, right? But then there's things that, forget about doing very badly, there's things that he cannot do, like take a midi. But yet he's still a force out there because he's playing his position. He's asked to do what he does well, and he's doing that great, you know. And then I could say that about virtually every other person on the team. Everybody's just playing their role. And because they're not doing too much, they're able to play their role great. You know, because they're not asked to do a million things. They're asked to do one thing. So that's what I've seen, is that this is a well-oiled machine. And that is one of the toughest types of things that you can have on the court, because you don't have to worry about one guy. You can't just worry about one guy. If you lock in on Julius, he's going to feed Brunson. If you try to quaring off Julius and Brunson, then DiVincenzo is hitting shots left and right. And that's a serious problem for other teams. You know, big problem for other teams.
Damn, how you not going to say quickly, my boy?
Oh, man, it's not enough time.
How you not going to say
not
quick?
Enough time.
You went Dante before yeah. quickly. Yeah.
But what, any other reactions to the week? Like, in terms of, because that was a really great assessment. And I think
I just want to say, you're only as good, right? Like, it hasn't been any close games because like, we played some scrap teams. Boston game was interesting, and Atlanta game was a close game. But, like, you're only as good as your go-to option, man. And I think we're trending towards Brunson. Like, everyone loves Julius. We love what he brings to the table. You know, you can dump it down to him. But Brunson is he's kicking it up a notch. And, like, that's going to say a lot towards the rest of the season if he can maintain it. But definitely, if I had to pick a guy to say it was his team, right now it's Brunson's team. And Quickley's a great backup. I think Quickley's, like, that – extra option when RJ's not around. I know there's a lot of other guys that can score, but yeah, so after Julius and Brunson, I would say with RJ and then Quickley. But DiVincenzo,
he stepped up the last couple games, he's been back dunks and chasing rebounds, and you know, he's been the spark, he's been the like an additional.
But Quickley's been on since day one. So
yeah,
like,
of course,
you know, he probably got like two single digit games. But other than that, like, yeah, Quickley's the guy.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yeah, Mitch, get a double double, man. Like, you get all these rebounds. Like, come on, son, you can't get 10 points. Jesus.
Ed, what were your thoughts about the weekend?
Yo, the Knicks played fantastic. They beat the Wizards, the Hawks, and Charlotte. Three bottom feeding teams. The Hawks should be a lot better than what they are. I believe they're trash. I believe that someone's going to get traded from that team eventually, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Trey Young.
The weird thing of this week was beyond us going, you know, 3-1, RJ had a massive migraine, and he was out for all those games except the last game, which I thought it was kind of weird. You know, I had a migraine the other day, and it only lasted like 5 hours. Oh, like for it to last three games.
It's real.
That's weird,
it's
right? Like,
yeah.
Yo, listen, is it really a migraine, or are they trying to hide something?
Obviously, there's no resting players, so like, you know, they're trying to figure out other lineups, and I believe that they stick guys out so other players can get
comfortable. RJ doesn't even fall into that category anyway.
Yo,
I don't know, but you don't have a migraine for four days.
Guys out to get other players comfortable. So, like, yo, if you sit out today, this kid will get more shots.
If you have COVID, you do.
Yeah. But this week, you know, who really stepped up is Brunson. Brunson really stepped up. I mean, he had 20-plus in all the contests. He was the driving force. And you know what? Randall was right there with him, right? Randall, he shot a lot, but he was making buckets, right? I mean, he also scored 20 points. And right behind them, with RJ out, it was quick. Yeah. The last game, as you guys mentioned, Dante stepped up. About time. I mean, I was really worried about Dante. He started. Grimes got hurt, as Wall Street mentioned. He hurt his hand. I'm worried that he's going to be out for an extended time. And, you know, Grimes is our best defender, but Dante was in there. He got 25 big ones. He shot good from three. I just don't trust him. I don't trust his layup game. I don't trust his package overall. And, you know, no homo. But
just pause. We gotta edit.
I'm not trying to get canceled. I'm not trying to get canceled.
My bad. Cut that out. But I'm just concerned. I don't like the way he plays the game. I mean, he plays it right, but I think he's an undersized guard.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't like, I'm not like, other than the last game again against the Charlotte Hornets, who are trash anyway. And then you got Josh Hart, right? And every game that passes by, sure, he grabs a lot of rebounds, but that's it. You know what I'm saying? We pay this guy so much money, and I'm like, oh, how could you be on Team USA? No wonder we lost.
Wow.
No wonder we lost.
Because of Josh Hart. He was good.
This guy.
You can't have role play. You can't people coming off the bench being role players in the NBA and then
playing like 30 minutes in Team USA. Steve Kerr should be ashamed of himself. Come on, man.
Listen, I don't know. Listen, Devi might end up taking Grimes minutes because he played really well. And if he can continue this, I think, you know, like regular season wise, he provides that great spark. I think come playoffs, the energy, the things change. And I don't know if what he brings to the table is going to matter come the playoffs, because it becomes possessions. And, you know, I mean, and then again, right, like you said, it's Charlotte and Washington. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Washington, for you guys out there, if you want a good laugh, you watch a Washington Wizards game. Like, I'm not even serious. It is the weirdest, funniest games that you will watch on the league pass. I mean, like, it's bad alley-oops. It's players waving off the coach.
we could legitimately say that Jordan Poole is not him. He's not him.
Not at all.
He's averaging 16 points on terrible efficiency.
Saw on Friday was just like, it was mind-boggling. Like, we were just like, he waved off the coach like two or three times. Like, coach is trying to call a play. And I'm just... And then he didn't get benched either. It's just like it's the old kid out there.
It's the league again.
It's crazy. But you know, I mean, to say that, and then you know, they played well. And I think we can harp on what didn't work, but for the Knicks to go 6-1 in these last 2 weeks, I think they're winning the games that they need to win, and they're staying in it. And the East is gonna be... This is the time you win those games, because come January, you kind of start to separate from the pack, and they can make a clear run for the fourth seed, fifth seed.
It's just too bad that RJ was, you know, not feeling well or whatever.
He's being held out so other guys can get comfortable.
Okay. I wanted to see RJ in that lineup against Boston. That's the one the rest of them I knew that we were going to win.
It's trust my trackers, baby. Like I said, we got a whole, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I like Wall Street's take. I think you guys, the Knicks are a unit. Yeah, Jalen Brunson is like the offensive guy. He hits the big shots. But as a unit, they're coming at teams. And I see teams are like not expecting the Knicks to really engage, like, or to be like, they look on paper, oh man, they ain't got no star, right? And then the Knicks come out and collectively hammer teams, and it's like, oh shit, like, we just lost to the Knicks, and we lost bad to the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Jalen Brunson. He got it too. He was in a shootout with LaMelo Ball, man, and held his own. You know what I'm saying?
LaMelo's looking good though.
Yeah.
I said that twice.
It's the mellow ball, but I mean, you know, yeah, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's a better Jordan Poole.
And you know, and one other thing, one unsung hero, one of you guys mentioned it. Yo, Mitch, yeah. Mitch at Hartenstein, I said this last time we had a conversation. They're really playing well. I mean, yeah, he's not getting points, but he's not getting plays either. They don't call no plays. They don't pass the ball to him. They don't get no alley oops.
You get enough rebounds.
Irrespective of all of that.
10 points?
You can't do it. You can't do it.
Give me a jersey.
You can't do it.
I think he does what they ask.
You know, guys up at ESPN, yo, talk to the guys in the league. Give me a jersey.
You can't do it.
I think he does what he's asking.
Playing 40 minutes?
Honestly, he gets the ball, he gets the rebounds, and he kicks it back out.
Yeah, man, he's looking great out there, man. His defense is top notch. You know, He's got the low block on lock, and I love to see it. And the fact that he doesn't demand the ball actually bodes well for the Knicks, because we have a lot of guys that need the ball. So for him not being in his feelings and asking for plays, maybe his agent does, but you know, I think it's a benefit to the Knicks.
He got paid already. They gave him the bag. Like, what more, you know,
him a little something.
Bag.
Yeah, I'm about to
he say. Got some bag. He didn't
he
get
got
no bag.
Something. I mean, the center's a dying position. They don't even have that in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
so, you know, for what his skill set is, 17, 18 million a year ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bad price tag. And I'm sure he's going to get more coming up.
You were going to touch up on it, Heck. You know what? He's another thing that he's improved on, besides the fact that he's not fouling out, right? He's not using up all his fouls, and he's well conditioned. So he's getting to 38 minutes, and he doesn't look like he's exhausted. Remember, I joked last year talking about, is this dude smoking Newports at halftime? Because he looks like a smoker in the fourth quarter, right? But you know, he's fixed that problem. But another thing that he's done that I've noticed over the years, he would grab offensive rebounds. And it's almost like his mind was set on going back up. And you do want to go back up. But one of the best shots that you could get in basketball is when a good three-point shooter misses a shot. If you run that back to that three-point shooter, the chances of him hitting it the second time around, they go up. So I felt like through his career, it's like he didn't know. So he would grab the rebound. He's triple-teamed. He would go up and take a bad shot. The next play, he would grab an offensive rebound and there would be nobody on him and he would kick it out. But now I'm seeing him make the right decision. He's getting the ball. He's aware if he's being crashed on. If he is being crashed on, he's kicking it out to the shooter as well as we've ever seen him do that. And he's getting those little dimes off of it. So I think that that's huge in this game. Huge.
You know what he else is not? What he's not really doing a lot? He's not fouling a lot. That's
what I'm saying.
That's the number one thing he's cut down on. He's cut down on those fouls. He used to foul a whole lot on jump shooters, but now he's coming out. He's not
his major holes were foul trouble, conditioning. Once he fixed those two things, now he's a starting center on basically most teams. There's very few teams where you send him straight to the bench, you know, unless you send him to Denver. You know, unless you send him to Philly, but now he could start on multiple teams. I didn't think that he was a starting center, but I think that now he's a starting center. He can play the minutes.
Yet you drafted him in your fantasy basketball team.
I have him.
He's not a starting center though.
And he's gonna kill you. And he's gonna kill you when I play.
Can't go down the rabbit hole.
You drafted him on the STK fantasy team.
I just dropped RJ. I dropped RJ, pop a Tylenol, pop a Advil, or a combination of them, and play basketball. And it's soup.
Porzingis. Moving along. Wall Street, he's just mad that you didn't trade him to Coach. That Coach is mad you didn't trade it to him. He thought
legend. If you're watching this, man, you a guy, boy. You cleaned up real well.
Anyhow, moving along. So I was on, you know, I've been on X. I go to the Twitter feeds where they talk about like the Knicks and stuff like that. And there was a big debate on there on Julius Randle, right? Trading him versus not trading him. It was fairly even, which wasn't really a surprise. A lot of people echoed like what Coach said, where what do we get for him? I heard like a lot of people saying like Wall Street said, you know, like he's still good. You just got to let him play through it. There was just a lot of back and forth. And then watching the games, two of the games this week, I watched the Charlotte game and I watched the Wizards game. And I could just see like the ball movement is better without Julius. He tries to do too much, or he just shoots errant shots. He produces, but he's the focal point of the offense. So at some point, if you're shooting 7 for 18, 8 for 20, like you're gonna get 20 points. Like the shots are there for him. But Ed, I wanted to ask you, what's the trade value for Julius? What do you think is his trade value? Like, does he have a market worth? Like, what do you think makes sense? Because
first off, you'll put some respect on that man's name. That's a two-time All-NBA, two-time All-Star, Julius Randle. But honestly, we knock Julius a lot. Seriously, we knock Julius a lot, but all he's brought to the Knicks is prosperity. We went to the playoffs a bunch of times. He made not only the second team All-NBA, he made third team All-NBA last year. He was a two-time All-Star. Uh-huh. I mean, he's averaged with the Knicks 23, 24 points a game. Uh-huh. You know, he's averaged 72 to 75 games in the last 5 years. That's a lot of stuff, man. And, you know, people are like, oh, let's trade him for Cat. I'm one of them, right? I'm like, oh, let's trade him for Cat. Do you know that Cat has less stats, makes a lot more money, and has averaged like 45 games the last 3 years? So all Julius is a workman. He's a workman. And, you know, he averages 20-plus points a game. He averages 5.5 assists. And he averages damn near 10 rebounds a game. Us being fickle New York fans, we don't like the way we don't like the way he flows with the offense. And I'm one of them. I don't like the way he holds the ball. I think he's great. I think he's good. I think he will be a fantastic number three option on another team. I don't like him being our number one option for the New York Knicks. He brought us to a place of respectability. I appreciate that. And I love him for that. But now it's time to change course a little bit. So who would we trade? I really don't know, man. I really don't know because people are like discounting everything I just said. And like, let's say Cat, for instance. Right. They want us to give them not only Julius, but additional draft capital when we would be receiving 100 more million in salary, a player that can't play more than 50 games a year, and one that doesn't play defense. Right. So Julius is like one of those mystery trades. I really don't like if we trade for him, we're gonna get less value.
Of course.
In reality, we should get draft picks plus a player, not give up draft picks because people are getting a workman, an all-NBA, you know, all-star caliber player. So who would be a good fit? You know, honestly, I think we could trade him for Zion. Like, and I would argue that it should be a straight up trade.
Now, why is Zion a good fit?
I think that Zion would be the reason why I think Zion would be a good fit. Is I think that Zion wouldn't know. I think that he would be better off with Barrett, with Brunson and Barrett. Barrett is one of his best friends in the league. Brunson, you know, I think he would understand his place on the team. And I think that his time in New Orleans is just running out. Him and Brandon aren't really working out well. They both need the ball at a bunch of times. I mean, he's a flying machine. Like, I would love for us like to pick up the pace in our offense and go up and down the court. Julius did well with the Pelicans when he played there before, and he would be he would understand his role. He would be the third fiddle, and he would do well in that position. He would handle the rock when they need it. While we don't need Zion to handle the rock with the Knicks, he could catch lobs. He can go one-on-one on folks, and he could be part of the team. And he would, you know, I think it would be a great dynamic, and it would be a good storyline with the Duke boys back in play. Other players that I would trade for, I would trade for Cat, but I'm not giving up draft picks. It'll be a one-for-one trade. That's it. And the only reason why I'm doing that is I feel like we did the Julius Randle thing, and I want to do something different. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's all. No basketball, nothing associated with like the actual dynamics of basketball. I feel like we just need something different, and maybe Cat can provide it. You know, right now, Julius and RJ are kind of like operating in the same area, and RJ's taking a step back. I think that RJ could take a step forward, but we need someone to be in the perimeter. And Cat could be that guy. So I think Cat would open up the offense. Our defense would take a hit, though. And that's the problem. And if our defense takes a hit, what that really means is we need another coach. Because Tibbs can't be the same coach. Nice. So
all right, back to the original.
To summarize, coach, put some respect on Julius's name.
How likely is he to get traded?
We could be trading him for like nothing. And people are getting a workman.
How likely is he to get traded, realistically?
Zero. 0% chance.
All right. Happy we agree
Come on,
there.
Coach.
Happy we agree there.
Yeah. I will say this, though, Ed, you might be onto something in terms of Zion's time running out because he was involved in an altercation where he got into a fight in a parking lot. He was fighting like two or three dudes. It's just him by himself.
Who, Zion?
Zion Williamson, yeah.
When? Where?
So it was on TMZ. You could Google it. It was this weekend? It was this week. I watched it on Friday, or I believe. Thursday or Friday, yeah. And normally when you got a guy...
Pull up the video.
Listen, when you got a guy that you would think is like your franchise player, that video doesn't surface. But... when it does surface, it's kind of like, okay, you know, like maybe who's leaking this, right? And how is this getting out there? And so, you know, maybe if Zion, you know, Zion may not make it to New York, but he's headed somewhere. I think he's headed somewhere. Coach, I know you're the biggest Julius supporter. That and Obi, I don't know.
Obi has 6 points today.
Hey, don't do that to Coach. He gotta let him go. He can't separate if we don't give him the opportunity. You don't think Coach has a stat track on Obi?
There's no reason, right? There's no, like, all these complaints. It's basketball. At the end of the day, they still winning basketball. The test is coming up with these two games this week. But
who are they playing this week?
Playing ball. Minnesota, Miami. So as long as he's playing ball, like what do you want from the man? You know, like nobody shoots 100%. And yes, there's a lot of bad body language and disgusting things that happen. That's not our job, right? It's Tibbs' job. And yes. Tibbs is making it work. Tibbs is making it work. So,
I mean, we are fans, though, right? We like to see a good entertain. I like to see smiling players. I don't like to see grumpy players out there.
Man, get the job done.
And
7 times out of 10, like, he gets the job done.
He 6 out of 10. I mean, he was not good against Washington. He wasn't. But it may be just be him in his head just trying to do too much, or I don't know. But whenever the ball gets into his hands, he's not making the best decisions. He's not going with the flow. And then when he wants to take control. Like, there was at one point where he passed to a cutting DiVincenzo who passed to somebody else for a three, and he looked upset. Like, he wanted the assist and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like the body language does a lot to your team chemistry. When you got this one guy and he's your main guy, he's their bully. Like, I don't know. It just – he doesn't make the best decisions. He doesn't.
Coach, and management, right? The Knicks are gonna nick. Like the coach, management, everybody's living with this.
Who goes first? The coach or Julius?
In a perfect world, Julius.
Coach.
Yeah. Can I say
yes.
This?
Yes.
A couple of years ago, we got new management, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember always hearing the battle between Michael Jordan. And that management, right? And there was management, and they openly said, like, yo, y'all need to, like Ed says, put some respect on our name, because Jordan is a player, but we put this shit together, right? So
language.
So I guess this is the first time that we could say that we're in that similar boat right now, where we're looking at this team like, yo. Management is building this thing brick by brick, and they're not doing it with the big explosive names and the big explosive contracts. You know, they're doing it the right way, little by little. So when you think about this Julius thing or Tibbs thing, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, I think that you probably gotta be a little confident that if anybody's going to press the right buttons, if anybody's going to make the right moves, it's this management team right here. Because you're looking at these games, and I said this last week, they almost feel like management wins. They almost feel like, yo, we put you guys in way too good of a position. We gave you a point guard that can handle the hell out of the rock. We got you a four that's a dog. We got you a five that protects the rim. We got you bench players that are running the court and moving the ball around. Everybody's doing what they got to do. There's no mismanagement here. You don't got the pitcher on first base. You don't got the left fielder playing shortstop. Everybody's doing what they got to do. So when you think about this Julius thing and this Tibbs thing, You know, it's something's gonna happen, and you could tell by the history of this management team, it might not be those things, but watch us make another move that is almost like DiVincenzo. When we got DiVincenzo, nobody talked about it. And right now, Jalen Brunson is playing like all-star basketball. Nobody's talking about it. And that's a good thing if you're a Knick player. But you know, I believe in this management team, man.
Yeah. Yo. One name that could come up is two names, actually, either Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby.
Oh, man.
And there'll be a question whether it be RJ and or Julius. I think it would be Julius, to tell you the truth. We got a lot of draft capital, and now guys are starting to get itchy fingers with that draft capital.
Yeah, they but you don't want a guy from a losing program. Like,
you can also get their draft picks, though, which –
every good player that got drafted came from a losing program.
And keep an eye on free agency. There's probably going to be a free agent on that list. I haven't looked at the free agency list this year, but the guys that are going into free agency. And let me tell you something else. If you were going into free agency 6 years ago, you passed when you saw the Knicks. But now you're like, oh, maybe I can go over there and play with the Knicks. So we got to also take a peek at free agency and see who's going to be available.
Let's get through the season first.
Yeah, the topic comes up because of Twitter, but trading for Cat just doesn't make any sense. He's hard.
No.
He's bad. I've been watching him this year, and Minnesota's, they got to stand pat with him because nobody really wants him, and they're waiting for the Knicks to be dumb enough to be like, hey, we'll take him.
He is Dominican. we got a okay. Big Dominican contingent in New York.
Yes we do, but that would be the wrong reason to they
he did also go to Kentucky.
They'll be throwing platanos at him at the
kid. Kevin Knox didn't work out
showering with tortones. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's his value, right, to be honest with you. And I think Coach makes a good point in that If you're not going to get something of equal or something in the neighborhood, probably is just best to stand pat. But I mean, it's the business. And there's, you know, listen, we traded Patrick Ewing. So that, you know, like if we traded one of the greatest Knicks of all time, no one is immune.
Yeah,
to
the criticism. He wanted to get traded, and he was like 35 when he got traded. That was the end of the road.
I'm just saying.
It wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't 87, Patrick.
No, no, that player has contract.
It was 98.
It was
2002, Patrick Ewing.
And a curse ever since.
Yo, you're right. They say that it's the Ewing curse, but honestly, I mean, it's just part of New York. And at some point, you know, every championship team has had to make an adjustment, right? When the, you know, I mean, I'm going to show my age because I got the grays. But Pistons, they had Adrian Dantley. They traded him. They got rid of him because they needed Dennis Rodman to get more playing time. That led to them getting two championships down the road. It didn't happen right away, but 2 years later, they're in the mix. They won two champs. They beat the Celtics and the Lakers, bro. Like, only Isaiah Thomas to this day is the only guy that beat Magic, Bird, and Jordan. Hands down, legitimately. So, you know, you got to make those moves. And maybe trading Julius can lead to something better. You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, but right now, the Knicks are 6-1 in the last 2 weeks.
8-5 in total.
There you go. There you go.
And we got a good favorable schedule.
Yeah, well, you got a surging Miami on Friday, got the Suns on Sunday, which I'm going to the game, and then you got Minnesota on Monday. But you're in Minnesota.
Oh,
so,
yeah, we got two.
But the
and we play the Pistons.
Week, the following week, you got Charlotte, Detroit, Toronto. Right. So it's looking good. It's a good stretch down the road.
That's back.
You know what I mean? Moving along. Thank you, Ed. Moving along. So I think we've all been noticing the NBA in tournament games that have been going on. It's look kind of looking like a success right now. Players are turning up during those games. It's kind of brought some excitement to the early season, which is normally sleepy, unless you got like a breakout rookie, which this season also has. Like you have Chet, you got Wemby, Brandon Miller's kind of doing his thing in Charlotte. You got the Thompson brothers in Houston and Detroit that are doing their thing. You got some good talent coming up. But the in-season tournament has looked good. I mean, the courts are a little weird, right? Shout out to Ice Cube.
I like the courts. I like the way they designed the courts.
Shout out to Ice Cube because they kind of stole that idea. Oh. We're not gonna put that out there, but that's a big three idea. We're not gonna say nothing. No.
I like the courts. I think they're dope. I wanted to see it because of the courts.
Yeah. They hit or miss. Some of them are dope. Others are kind of.
It's a lot. It's just a lot.
But coach, what has been your thoughts on the end season tournament? Has it been worth it? Do you think like what are your plus negatives if you got any?
It's worth it, but like we'll see. Like, well, first the courts are S. Like I don't know, I don't like that. It's a lot, and the uniforms, like let's get back to traditional. White and dark, like
you didn't like the Wizards jerseys, the Christmas. They're on Santa's naughty list.
Listen, we get it. They want to be theatrical, and it looks theatrical. You know, like let's dumb it down a little bit. Let's keep it back to basketball, somewhat. It's a show, but for what they're putting out there, Friday night games, like it's a show, and it's doing its part. But like the meat of it, like the most exciting part, hasn't even hit yet. You know, everybody loves college basketball for the one and done aspect of it. So once we get into that, we're getting down to the finals, yeah. Elite Eight, Final Four, championship game of whoever makes it, the last team standing, that's when we'll see like the true excitement. Vegas should be amazing. And like for where we're at so far in the beginning of it, it's nice. Like, you know, it's cool, it's acceptable. But like I feel like there's so much more. So it's good, not great. And then like the end of it, like though that Final Four, that Elite Eight, you know, that's going to be where people go crazy.
So definitely. Wall Street, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, the championship game is played in Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be popping. And also, coach just copied my background, and he should change it and get his own background.
Different logo. Relax.
Hey, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, honestly, the courts are what does it to me. I like the way the courts look. You know, I can't really tell that if the courts were the same, I couldn't tell the difference between the in-season tournament and anything. So the courts kind of like do it to me. Back to coach's point, we haven't really hit the stride yet because, you know, at the end of the week, you have a couple of in-season games and then it goes to regular. It's when you start, like you get like the continual, you know, competitive juices where everyone plays back-to-back games or, you know, they're all in Vegas that we're really going to see with the knockout round. But right now it's regular. Mm-hmm. But for the basketball courts, that's the only reason why I like to see them.
I usually tune into college games this time of year because the early season's kind of a lull, and I want to see like the 5-star, 4-star prospects, if there are any in college still. But you know, you look for who's coming out, and you're like, okay, you want to see like the Dukes and the North Carolinas and the Connecticuts and whoever else, right? Is Oregon. But this tournament's kind of pulled my attention. Like I'm tuning in because one, I want to see like what court is going to show up, right? And two, it's like, yo, like they're really going in. Like this might be the start of a really good tradition.
Yeah. You know what they did too? You get this prize money.
Yeah.
Players are going to get 500 grand. So the players are invested because they're going to get 500 grand lump.
Yep.
From a business perspective, the NBA is trying to sell in the future, sell this tournament to like Netflix or like another streaming service. Really? So they're trying to make like a business out of that little tournament. You know what I'm saying? Instead of like, you know how like ESPN has the NBA finals or NBC has the NBA finals. Well, if you want to bid for it, you can have the in-season tournament. So, you know, Adam Silva, man, I think he's innovative. He took a carbon copy from like the soccer leagues and their end season tournaments, and I kind of dig it, man. Innovation, man. You know, you got to adapt or die, and the NBA is trying to be that league that does more. So I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and shout out to them going back to the original East versus West this year.
Yeah, it's another one.
I thought it was next year. Is this year? Okay. Oh, shout out to that.
Because the draft was kind of whack. I mean, you know, they weren't. The only time someone actually dissed someone was when Giannis took Dame Lillard and didn't take, you know, Holiday. But beyond that, drafting players is whack.
Yeah.
I'd rather get the East West shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the All Star weekend has come to a stagnant halt, and they're trying their best to figure out things. And the in game the in season tournament has kind of, you know, certain games have gotten touchy. You got guys getting choked out. You got guys getting their jerseys ripped. I'm not gonna say.
You know what they should put in the All-Star game? You know, like on the courts and the playground where people try to bang it and you try to block their shot. They should put that in the All-Star game. Let me block you or I'll bang it on you.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to watch.
I don't know how many All-Stars are gonna really go for that. You got guys that don't even want to guard each other right now. Like, and shout out to Ant, right? Shout out to Ant-Man down in Minnesota, who's like guarding the opposition's best player, or, you know, or trying, you know what I'm saying? He kind of got touched up a little bit by Devin Booker, but he was smoking. Like, he took on Tatum. I mean, he's trying to be, he wants to be the best two-way player possible, right? And, you know, I think it would be dope to kind of get All-Stars to get out of their mood and so being so protective of their brands and kind of just, you know, having some confidence or some courage to take on the, you know what I mean? Like, we got guys that are like going on Twitter trying to diss each other, right? But they see you on the court and it's like, oh, I'm gonna do what my coach says and I'm gonna switch off. Like, fuck out of here. Like, You gonna talk crazy to me and then you don't want to guard me at the game? Like, that's crazy. That's, you know, that's the thing I miss most about the 90s, that people was like, oh, okay, you're gonna talk crazy to me? I'm gonna see you on the court, you know, whether it was Kobe and Ray Allen or Reggie Miller and John Starks or Jordan and whoever, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, you don't see that enough anymore. And so hopefully you start to see that.
I think that's the difference with me for Jalen Brunson. You want me to say, all right, this is Jalen Brunson's team, then, you know, fight through the pick and stay on Trae Young.
You want him to stay healthy?
Give Damian Lillard.
Steve Nash ain't played no defense for a long time.
Why are you hating on Jalen Brunson? I don't understand. Why are you hating on him?
Because he missed out for paying. I love Jalen Brunson, but
Wall Street's,
you know,
we got a rant coming up, we gotta call a spade a spade,
you know, and he's atrocious on defense. It's atrocious. It's horrible because he's not even trying. And I'm going to give you a little example, and this is what we've been seeing a lot of, and you could go back and check the tape if you want to see in that Atlanta game in the fourth quarter, Atlanta was making a run and there was a play where DeJounte Murray got Brunson out on an island, and DeJounte called for the pick to get the switch on Julius. Brunson made absolutely no attempt. The pick was bad, so he could have got through it, but he made no attempt to get through it, and that forced the switch. When they forced that switch, that left DeJounte Murray on an island with Randall, and he made him look bad. He snatched his ankles. But if I'm a power forward, I don't want to guard a point guard on an island. I want to guard a power forward. Why am I out here guarding DeJounte Murray? Why is it my point guard or my
shooting guard? Because coach didn't put you on the bench. If your coach is smart, he puts a defender out there like, all right, yep, he's taking
this. Hey, he defends somebody, and you know how New Yorkers are. He guards somebody, and this is his team. But right now, you know, you're just a shooter at the end of the day.
Oh.
But why are you hating on Brunson? I don't understand. That makes no sense to me.
I like when this podcast is spicy. Come on. I like it.
I don't get that. Same energy. I don't get it.
Gotta defend. You gotta defend, Pops. Look at what DiVincenzo, Grimes, and Hart are doing. They're
the role players. The role players.
Yeah,
defend.
Right. That's their job. Like, if I got 30, right? Obviously, you needed me to get all these 30s.
Like, all right, listen. You don't want to play defense. You want to hide on defense. You want to let all your guys go out to drive.
I got 30, coach.
Like, all right. But that's your job. This ain't your team. You got a job on this team.
I can't do everything. I can't grab all the rebounds. Like, all
right. Imagine Kobe saying, like, yo, I can't do everything, bro. I can't defend and play offense. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I need you to play on both sides. If not, you know, you just so you telling me that if it's like that, that means that Jalen Brunson has zero success on another team. Because we are very good defensively. We are very good defensively. When you take Jalen Brunson out,
pick and roll. He literally has no energy on the page.
Let's backtrack a little bit.
He does
right play. On the Derrick Rose led Bulls. Was he that great for you? Like, no. Like, if you're the guy,
Yeah, come on, coach. You gotta show me a little bit of want to. You don't gotta do the job. Just show me that you're gonna try.
I put us back into the game.
Yo, hey, coach. I tell you, coach. A baller told me like this one time. He said, "I don't care if you give me 30, if you give up 32." Come on, Pop.
32? Did he give up 32? No.
You're probably 40 something.
Well, none of the boys did not have 40.
Trey Young is a hard assignment, man. I mean, he's the one that's on the trading block. Well, they're looking at to trade him because Murray isn't kind of popping right now. But Trey Young is kind of looking. They're looking at where to send him. What's the best package for him?
They shouldn't trade Trey Young. People in Atlanta go just to watch Trey Young.
Yeah,
he's a show.
Yeah, I agree. But his name keeps popping up, especially on like ESPN Insider. I think it's might just be more or less him not being happy with management, or who knows, right? It's the Hawks. Like, you don't know. Like, they up and traded John Collins, and they had a good thing going for a while. And I guess they were trying to trade him in hopes that things would be better, and it hasn't. Like, you're right, Ed, they could be better, but they're not. And something is going on. Either they're just not responding to the coaching, or I don't know. Atlanta's a different place.
Yo, Wall Street, imagine if we got Donovan Mitchell and he's matched up. He's next to Brunson. You know, and that's our backcourt.
And they both
how
go
bad
under
defensively would be. We'd be.
And they both go
be terrible. That's why if we forget Donovan.
I look at Jalen Brunson defend, I'm not saying go out there and defend, you know, the other team's top shooting guards. Just show me a little bit of passion against guys like Damian Lillard and guys like Trey Young. You're not
Damian
gonna get
Lillard's not defending
40. Gave him both 40.
Damian Lillard's not defending either.
Well, I don't watch Damian Lillard play. I know Jalen Brunson's not defending. You know, I know that.
He goes on the so he dies on the pick and roll sometimes. He'd be like, wait,
why? Yeah. Brunson.
And then you got Julius Randle guarding some of the sauciest dudes out in the perimeter, and he's getting his ankle snatched.
Like,
and if I'm him. You know, if I'm playing and I'm out on an island with coach because I got switched off, I'm like, yo, I don't want to guard this dude running back and forth. You know what I'm saying?
Or
I play down low.
Yo,
I want to chase.
Or
this,
when
bro.
You play Just Tech one on one in an SDK premier event in a couple of months, you're gonna snatch Just Tech's ankles, right?
Yo, disclaimer to any of my athletes.
Pay per view event.
I do tell you to fight over the screen because you're not the players getting 30. Right, if you're the player getting 30, we could discuss that in a situation with the whole team. But yeah, I tell my kids to fight over the screen too. Just a disclaimer.
How much are we charging for the premier only event between Just Heck and Wall Street?
Oh man,
angles of game.
Save your money. That's a $100 ticket.
Pull out your EBT cards. I want cereal.
We got it on Instagram Live.
I want cereal. I want Frosted Flakes. Oh man! All right, y'all. Well, any last words for the night?
Ed, Mitch, get 10 points. Oh. Boy, like, you getting double
digits. Yo, give him some passes. Get some passes.
Yo, when RJ
comes back. Give him, like, five passes.
When RJ comes back, he's going to get two knobs, right, and, like, a rim run. And so now he just got an offensive rebound of a two. Because RJ's going to give him two lobs and a rim run. So, you know, like, that's it. Like,
Mitch is a superior rim runner, though.
Yeah.
And they like, don't
pull up there.
There was a couple times where he set the pick.
He gets it.
Listen, he set a couple screens in Washington, and he darted to the rim, and they didn't even give it to him. And I'm like, oh, that's an alley-oop right there. I mean, against Washington, like, he can do whatever he wants.
And that's on Jalen Brunson. That's his fatal flaw. You know, you're talking about defense, but his other fatal flaw.
He got to do everything, right?
I mean, he's the point guard.
He don't pass the ball, yo. He needs to pass the ball a little bit more.
Julius Randle probably still has the highest usage rate on the team. How can he pass the ball?
You know what else worries me about that? Yo, the hardest thing to do late in the season, late in the game, late in the playoffs against good teams, the hardest thing to do is just jack up shots. Shooting percentages go down late in the playoffs against good teams. So when Jalen Brunson, you know, faces a team or a guy that brings his shooting percentage down just a bit, now he becomes almost useless. You know, and I love Jalen Brunson. I love this team. Everybody's playing well. But all I'm saying is, yo, you got to step up and guard, bro. You got to give me some wants. So don't come out the game. Don't come out in the end of the fourth quarter and your man gave you 30 and you got two fouls, you know. Yo, use your fouls. Do something.
Nah, two fouls is good. Maybe three, but yeah, I'll take two fouls. More importantly, did he close the game for you or no? I feel like he closed the game.
He won the game.
You see,
you got the job done. All right,
he didn't close the game. He wins the games.
That's like the waiter bringing you your steak, and you tell the waiter, "Yo, you did an amazing job on this steak. Who taught you how to cook steak? Hey, Mr. Waiter, you are the god at steak cooking." No, there was a process. The chef, the waiter only delivered the steak. He only hit the shot. But in order for him to hit that shot, four guys had to fight through picks, get a rebound, push the court, spread the court. You know what the guys are doing? You know what the role players are doing? They're hitting shots to make the court wider for the defense to give Brunson more room to work. And do your thing. Hit your shots. All I'm saying is, yo, work on
the They're not getting 30. Don't forget that. They're not getting 30. Uh-huh. RJ ain't play. And they're not getting 30. So you're welcome.
Yeah, I just realized that Coach don't play defense, does he?
Nah, Coach plays defense.
Nah, Coach plays defense. That's what he's known for.
Just Heck, on the other hand, doesn't.
I don't. I call for the screens. I'm the point guard. Ed doesn't like to set picks. Ed's just like, yo, just go. Ed, you got any last words?
No, I'm excited for the Knicks to actually play the Timberwolves. We're gonna face the Twin Towers. I can't wait to have Julius matched up with Cat. You know, there's rumors out there, right? He's gotta hear it. He's gotta hear Cat coming. And what position does Cat play? He plays the power forward position. Who's our power forward? Julius Randle. He takes those matches really personally, so he's going to try to attack him. He's going to try to score 30 tomorrow. Jalen's not scoring 30. Julius is going to try to score 30. On the flip side, Cat has to prove to people that he's worth the trade, and he's hearing these things too. So I think it's going to be a good grudge match. I hope RJ's ready to play, you know, and then we face some heavy hitters with the Heat and the Suns. But tomorrow, I'm looking forward to that game.
Word. All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all. Thank everybody for joining us. Great show, y'all. Got Coach B, Wall Street Heck, Ed Dollars. I have been just heck. Definitely keep in tune to the STK 2v2 tournament. Unfortunately,
1v1 just heck versus Wall Street.
Ed Dallas pushed it up to spring of 2027 once Coach B put a dunk video in the chat. All of a sudden, Ed went from showing he's got knee pads and then basketball sneakers on. Coach puts up the dunk. He's like, oh, no, we're going to play in the spring.
He's like, Coach showed a dunk video of him in 1998.
Kitty rims.
Yo, he's like busy. 15.
Dame Remy was one.
Wall Street's BMI has got to be reduced before we play. BMI's got to go down, bro.
I didn't say it, Wall Street.
No.
Right, next time.
I'm dying for this to end so I could eat an eclair that's waiting for me in the fridge. Hurry up and finish this, yo.
And we got to get Clearview on this chat because
Clearview, yeah.
Yo, is he that solid for real? Does he look like that now?
No, he doesn't.
He don't look like that.
Clearview got the Mamba mentality.
This guy's like,
Clearview went from
like Shaq out there.
He was like, yo, my back. And then all of a sudden, Wall Street effed him up. He's like, tell us the scout report. And then he's like, oh, I'm not in retirement. I still play. I'm like, which one is it? You playing or you get the package?
Yeah. You hear that, Clearview?
I'll be next.
It's going to be Wall Street first and then you.
I'll be like, that's mandatory.
I'd be like, yo, Clearview, it would be a pleasure to play you one-on-one. And he'd be like, yo, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. You're going to retire from, yo, he'd be going at me, yo. He don't got no fear, yo. I'd be like, yo, he don't got no fear.
Yeah. And then you're he's like, yo, ready. Where are we going to play? I don't know because my back. I pull my back.
Like, nah, man.
Which one is Clearview's it?
Ready. Which one? I've been poking the you bear. I think I'm going to get dunked on.
You just might. He had the little hezzy. I ain't gonna lie. See, he got the little hezzy and the little jump shot. But he's heavier now, so you may have to resort to some Draymond tactics. But anyhow, it's been a great show. Thank everybody for tuning in. Have a great night, fellas.
Happy Thanksgiving, all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bless. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, family. See y'all next. See y'all. Well, I don't know about next Sunday. We got to figure it out because I'll be at the Suns game. Yeah. I'll let y'all.
The next stop is.